don't have to pay to download this Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up. And you don't have to pay 20 grand to sell your home. Upside Real Estate will do it for just $7,500. Upside.com.au. No commission, no compromise.
Yes, and on the weekend, had a great weekend, guys. And it all topped off yesterday with Lulu's first ever presentation day. We went down to the soccer ground and we had a bit of a barbie. Under eights, the under eight dreamers at Hampton Park. Oh, Hampton Park. Hampton Rovers. And it was an interesting...
The dreamers, I love that.
Yeah, the dreamers, it's so cute. And it was interesting because Lulu got her first ever medal, had her name on it. She was up and about. But the whole day was around parents versus kids in a soccer game. So we took on the kids. All the mums and dads took on the kids. And there's heaps of little kids running around. We had a little shortened ground. And
did you smash them to prove a point? I would have. Never forget that.
But we tried to, but we actually got rolled. It was they're freaks.
Under
eights. So good.
By the under eights.
They had a couple of their brothers playing. Right, so it was all the kids versus the parents. And Schnooksy's not much of a sporting person, so she got excited. She got out there and we're having a bit of a play. And
this is your wife, Alex, so yes, she's having a real crack.
She's having a real crack. And little girl, Alice, who's 8 years old, was standing in the goals as a goalkeeper. And Schnooksy thought she let one rip.
Oh, no.
And poor Alice, who's the nicest, sweetest kid out of all of them. She always goes up and hugs everyone and gives kisses. She's so polite, one of the great little kids in the team. Schnooksy's had a strike and thought she was Ronaldo and hit it that hard straight into Alice's stomach. Oh. She forgot to use her hands because it was going that quick and the tears, the waterworks went.
Oh, no.
And really? I went, Schnooksy, what have you done?
Did she Alice get herself a lifetime of runway makeup?
Yeah, well, I think that's on the cards. But I thought to myself when I was driving into work today, when have you made a kid cry?
Ooh.
13, 10, 60. When have you made a kid cry?
In a fun way.
An adult.
Yeah.
Kicking a ball at a young kid's stomach. It's not good,
no,
is it?
No, just because he hasn't meant it, though.
No, it was a total.
Alex, she'd be mortified.
Yeah, it was a total accident. And little Alice stood there and tried to toughen it out. But then as soon as everyone was like, oh, then they started. It was like, oh, and I said, Schnooksy, pull up. Oh. Can't be kicking it like that. And then I went bang, 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 kicked the goal. And I was like, yeah.
Did you snag?
Yeah, snag. Did a big slide, 13, took the top off.
10-60.
Then the kids cried again.
I mean, this might happen in sports sometimes if you try a bit hard. Or I mean, it's
when are the parents taking it to the next level?
Yeah,
13. I reckon you would have done that.
What? No, I haven't. Didn't she doesn't even play sport yet.
No, didn't you hijack someone's singing?
Oh, I didn't make her cry. I just sang a bit louder than her.
In her defense, the kid was in the car park. Yeah, she wasn't great, but she didn't cry.
So. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fev, yesterday, poor Alex, I actually feel for your fiance.
Schnooksy.
All she was doing was getting into playing sport with the kids at Lulu's soccer day, and it was parents versus kids, and she just kicked a ball that winded a little girl.
Oh.
That happens.
Straight in the bread basket. Oh. And didn't go down too well, but the girls, they ended up winning. We let the kids win.
How much did Alice cry?
She was really tough, actually. But then once everyone was like, oh, are you okay? Then the waterworks go. Because, you know, I'm the same. If something happens and you tough it out. But then when everyone starts giving you a bit of love, you put the waterworks on because you want more cuddles.
And you're in pain.
Is that why you used to wave off the runner?
No, mate. No, I'm fine.
I don't want to cry here at the G.
Tian in Geelong. Or was it Tian? Hi, Tian.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Have you made a child cry?
Yes, well, I was working in an ice cream shop and a little girl came up and ordered some ice cream. So I said, yeah, no worries, have some ice cream. And I gave her some. And little did I know, was she lactose intolerant?
Oh, gee, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a mind reader, Tiana. You're not to know that.
No, and then she came up with her mum and her mum started yelling at me.
Oh, gee. Oh,
that's... Well, how are you to know?
Yeah, exactly. So... yeah, I was just pretty shocked and I felt so guilty, but it wasn't my fault.
Correct.
I started crying. It was just horrible.
Oh, dear. That's it. That's
not a fun story, that
no.
one.
No. Thanks for sharing.
Regret asking the question.
Let's go back to the kid who copped a soccer ball in the gut. That was a much funner area.
Shane in Sunshine. Hi, Shane.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Did you make a child cry?
My stepdad did.
What did he do?
The other week, after the Essendon-Brisbane game, my mum and stepdad come down from the country to watch that. We're in the lift after the game, and there was this little girl in all her Essendon gear, and my stepdad's wearing a Brisbane jacket. He's an old Fitzroy supporter. And this couple come running in, holding the door, and they're like, oh, it's a miserable day, isn't it? And this little Essendon girl's there giving my stepdad greasies, and my stepdad goes, yeah, he goes, at least the Lions won. And this little girl went off, started screaming, why would he do that? And then the lift goes down, we get off, and we're walking across the car park, and this little girl's still screaming her head off, why would they do that?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Devastating news this morning for my holidays. In fact, maybe all of our holidays. Next time we're on holidays, guys, binge watching is not good for you. And it's now doctors have come out and a study from the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute is saying that every hour that you spend sitting watching TV makes you more likely to die. I never like them to put that in. Can't you just say get sick? Do you just say that we die?
It's pretty drastic, yeah.
Die from inflammation-related diseases. Wait for it. Even moderate viewing of between 2 and 4 hours daily puts you at risk.
I'm not quite sure what you're talking about holidays, Boxy. This is every day for me.
Well, you're right, Fev, but actually you're right.
I'm in trouble.
You are in all sorts.
She's just sitting here in front of us, Fev. You're a miracle.
But I'm saying holidays because I had some serious binging that was going to happen. I've got Game of Thrones. I've got the
Ready
whole
to
series
go.
Just to sit there one day and not move. That's what I was hoping to do. How is that, though? That moderate viewing of between 2 and 4 hours daily.
How about you get
Everyone would watch 2 or 4 hours.
Mummy is sending herself to an early grave, so she could just go play with one of your friends.
I know that we won't isolate any particular one, but I know with Netflix, it's hard to stop it. Like, when the episode finishes, it just rolls on to the next episode, and you've sort of got to reach for the remote, and before you know it, that episode started.
You're watching it.
And you're in.
And you're in.
You could get a treadmill or a bike, put, like, the people that we gave the $50,000 to, have the big screen.
I know.
And watch while you're exercising.
Too noisy.
Okay.
What are they going to say to that?
Too noisy.
Okay, good one. Do you think you two are ever going to do
no.
that?
ever.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, we've all saw last week the first photos of the public display of affection between Jennifer Lawrence and her new boyfriend, Darren Aronofsky. I did it. I didn't do it well, but I did it.
It's just syllables are right into each other.
Darren Aronofsky. Yeah. Now, he's the director of her new film, Mother. So they've been dating. It's all been a bit secret, a bit on the sly, didn't want to go public, but they are there. They're holding hands. They're clearly a couple. And she has spoken finally about this relationship. And she said, for the past year, I've been dealing with him, Darren, as just a human. I've been in a relationship before where I'm just confused and I'm never confused with him. I love that.
That's
you
nice.
Can be. I can relate to that in relationships where it's just confusing.
I'm glad she's treating him as a human. What else would she treat him like?
I know. It says,
get a pen, mate. This is what helps in relationships, treating another human like a human.
Putting some notes down.
What is the layer of this, though, that we might be fun to look into is that Darren has essentially been her boss for the past few years while we've been making this movie. So at some stage during the process of the movie, they've fallen for each other, but she really was dating the boss. And I don't know, that can go well or it can go badly.
Oh, yeah.
It never, very rarely does it sort of walk that middle ground.
It'll go well at the time of the shooting of the film. Well, once she moves on to other pastures, that'll be a bit strange.
No, but see, Fev, you say that, and I would argue it might not have been going well at the shooting of the film because there's cast members, crew. Suddenly J-Law wants a 2-hour break and she gets it. And you go, well, I'm tired too. Where's my 2-hour break?
Okay.
Very hard for bosses not to show favoritism when they're, you know, the person they're employing is their partner.
But hang on a second. But, so she's taking a break in the trailer? Director can't be seen. What's going on set?
Where's Darren
Hey, Scooby, where's our director?
Darrenovsky. Anyway, 131060, we'd love to hear stories of have you dated the boss? Did it go badly? Because what happens when you break up and you still work together? Or did you experience just blatant favouritism?
Right.
Like it was, because it's a tough one for a boss, the position they find themselves in.
What about, it could have gone very well as well. Will we take those calls as well?
Not as fun.
131060.
Darren, I don't know what it would be. He's done well for himself.
Well done.
Has he?
He's batting above his average.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
48, Fancy. She's 27.
Well done.
She looks great and he's the boss.
Okay, we'll take a break and come back to your calls. 131060.
He should stay behind camera.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We were talking about Jennifer Lawrence going public with a new relationship with her director, Darren Aronofsky.
You didn't get it that time.
Darren Aronofsky, got it. Anyway, they're dating and they've been making a movie together for the past couple of years. And look, that's played out well. Fortunately, in that world, they're short tenures. So she's working with a director for a few years and then she gets to move on. But sometimes you can date the boss in a workplace and you've just got to be so careful. You've got to know what you're doing because, one, other staff members may hate you if you get favouritism shown towards you and you have to deal with all that grief. But, two, if the relationship goes sour, what happens? Somebody's got to leave. Like, that's very uncomfortable in the workplace.
And it's not going to be the person who's not the boss.
No.
Correct.
Remy in Lyndhurst. Hi, Remy.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Remy, did you date your boss?
Yeah. So I was a kitchen hand, like washes dishes in the restaurant.
Mm.
And then this hot restaurant manager took over. She came in the restaurant. And I really liked her. And all the chefs said, no chance for you, Remy. No chance. Kitchen hand. And I was like, come on. And then in 2 weeks, we hooked up.
Already?
And then all the chefs were jealous, really jealous. And yeah, they favoritism, they started hating me.
Oh, no. Oh.
And I didn't enjoy working there, yeah.
Do you still work there?
No. We both have to quit. Oh, we both have to leave.
Right.
And you're still together now?
We're still together, yeah. She's my fiance, yeah. We're going to get married next year.
Remy, have you gone and started a restaurant somewhere? Because it seems perfect.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah, nice. I love that story.
Remember, Remy, tell me you quit. She went back to work and now she's a sugar mama. Is that how it works?
Yeah, something like that.
Mate, you can get married and then invite all your other chefs that said that wasn't going to work and then you can and you can be their boss.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. Yep, that's the plan. I'm going to invite one of them, the one who said it's never going to happen. That's definitely going to invite him.
And make him wash the dishes.
Great story from Remy. We should promote when they open a restaurant.
There's a movie in that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence should get around that.
She could
be the restaurant manager. Oh,
synergy.
Although, you know what would happen? Like, she'd get someone like Zac Efron to play the kitchen hand. Darren, her boyfriend, would be directing, and then she'd have an affair with Zach, and Darren would lose her to the other actor.
Jeez, I know you don't like it, but he's your wife a new idea. That was good. That's a good movie.
It is. Linda in Mentone. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Linda. Have you had a dalliance with your boss?
Yeah, dalliance, and 29 years later, we're still married.
Oh!
Good effort. Linda, how did it play out, though, in the workplace?
Well, we were sort of co-workers, then he moved up to being my boss, which then created difficulty and domestic arguments would sort of peer in. The other co-workers didn't know, but the dynamics was weird. So
this hasn't quite worked out the way we want it to work out, has it, Boxy?
No, that's perfect. That's what we were after.
Yeah, but they're still together.
So, you're right.
That's a nice story.
Yeah, happily ever after. So what happened, Linda? Did you leave or did your partner leave?
Well, no, my partner decided that he wanted to go to England for a year, but after 3 months, he thought it was too cold and came back home.
To you.
And you got him.
29 years later.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, 29. And then he came back, and then I thought, you know what? It's my turn to go overseas. I'll do that. And then I came back, and then we got together again, and 29 years later, and two kids.
This is a full, I mean, we're getting a full background on Linda and this whole relationship.
Do you want me to do a movie synopsis with Jennifer Lawrence on that one?
Well, they might get the 30-year itch.
Is that a thing?
Linda's still on the line, Fev.
Linda, unfortunately, Fev, he wanted more negative stories. Yours is a bit too positive, but that's lovely.
If I can also say that other guys would ask me out because I didn't know I was going out with the boss. So
yes.
I would say to them that I've come from a very strict Lebanese background, so I'm not allowed to go out.
Good, good cover.
And then what do you know?
We would manage that and we would play up. So
and we're still together.
Yeah, we're still together.
Okay. Well, the movie might be called The 30-Year Itch.
Yeah.
That might be the movie. It's a long film.
Jeez, there's a lot of backstory, though. We know a lot about the character.
Hayden in Taylor's Lakes. Hi, Hayden.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Hayden. Are you in a situation where you are dating your boss?
No, I'm boss.
Your boss? So you're dating one of your underlings.
Was, not anymore.
What happened, Hayden?
We were just, so I'm the boss, ended up dating this girl for about a year and a half, and then it all went pretty bloody sour.
Was HR involved?
Nah, I wouldn't go, it's not that far, but
yeah, just it got pretty messy. Like you said, favoritism. And
did you have to sack her?
No. She ended up quitting.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah. So everyone, like, you know, everyone thought she'd get extra breaks. And
was she getting favoritism, Hayden?
No.
Nah, she wasn't. We'll try hard not to.
Fifi,
Dave, Fev and Byron.
Kevin Hart's having a bad week. Kevin Hart, stand-up comedian. You may be familiar with this. It only happened yesterday. He came out on his social media and apologised to his heavily pregnant wife and his children for embarrassing them.
Mm, and you'll get into this story, Boxy. I watched this when I first woke up. Yeah. So I put Kevin Hart in Twitter.
Yeah.
To find out what had happened.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anything.
Well, see, this is the thing. Yeah. He's done this video on social media where he's apologising but not saying what for. So everybody, of course, as you said, Feb, everyone's digging around going, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
here's some audio of his apology.
I'm at a place in my life where I feel like I have a target on my back. And because of that, I should make smart decisions. And recently, I didn't. At the end of the day, man, I just simply got to do better. But I'm not going to also allow a person to have financial gain off of my mistakes. And in this particular situation, that's what was attempted. I said I'd rather fess up to my mistakes.
So after reading a little bit of stuff throughout the day, he's obviously had an encounter with a female when he's got a wife who's pregnant.
Ew.
And kids. But she'd set him up and video recorded it, but I don't think anything actually happened.
Well, this is the thing. So all the digging is now TMZ, they're the only ones who've been able to get to the bottom of this. There's an extortionist,
yeah.
Yes, who's blackmailing him and trying to get money. Now, this this person has come out and said, Kevin Hart was privy to me wanting to expose him, as I've made countless attempts to expose this information on various blogs. So, yeah, you're right. Somebody's come to him and said, I've got this. They're saying you're right, video footage, but you can't actually tell if it's Kevin or not. It's like the back of a man's head, and they're not sure what he's doing, but clearly it's enough for him to need to apologise publicly to his wife and his children. And it reminds me of, do you remember, I don't know how long ago it was, 10 years ago, Dave Letterman, when he, because everyone who loves Letterman, you'd know the start of the show is always his monologue where he does some gags, and he stood
top
up there.
Top 10.
He's top 10. He stood there and just said it was the most honest moment on American television I think I'd ever seen. He just went, so here's the deal. I've got a partner I've had for 15 years. I've got a beautiful 3-year-old son. And I made a mistake and I started seeing one of the young producers here at work.
Dated the boss.
And now a man's trying to blackmail me. So there we go. Yeah. I made some mistakes. I apologise. And I remember thinking, you nailed that, Dave. It takes all the wind out of the blackmailer.
I mean, it was because being a stand-up comedian, you watch that and you go, wow, that's so brave being honest. But also he was mentioning it by about the third show. Like he mentioned on the first one, then the second, then the third. And by then his wife's like, all right, you've got enough mileage out of this one. Like it was amazing. It went from, that's really brave you brought it up, to stop making jokes about it, champion.
Well, 13, 10, 60, we're just going to ask the question because we think about this in the world of Hollywood or Kevin Hart or Dave Letterman, but maybe blackmail and this sort of threatening behaviour happens here in our suburbs in Melbourne.
Right.
So if you have been blackmailed or you know a situation where somebody's been blackmailed, or maybe, I mean, look, we have a voice disguiser. If you have attempted to blackmail somebody, I can say I went through a pretty nasty experience. I've had this nutbag contact me and infer that they had some, I was dating someone at the time and that they had some I think footage or photos or, and
really?
I actually had no idea what they were talking about, but they sort of started threatening me and my career and it was very, nothing happened. I just ignored it and it went away. But I remember at the time thinking, what are you doing? Who are you? And why are you suddenly threatening me or blackmailing me?
Without going into any detail, was it through social media? Because I reckon now that we've all got Instagram, it's easy to get to someone, a direct message of some sort.
Yeah, it's really cowardly. It's silly. And in this case, it was a really jealous woman who was had an obsession with the guy I was dating and clearly wanted to somehow blow that up and thought maybe if I start threatening them or blackmailing them, they'll he'll leave me and go with you. The nutbag? Probably not.
Shit, that's full on, isn't it? But must have felt good for you.
boyfriend at the time. It's just to know that you got the all that.
13, 10, 60. We'll take some calls. The voiceless guys are is there. We'll change names if we have to. 13, 10, 60.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Kevin Hart has revealed that he's been blackmailed. Somebody's trying to get money from him from footage. I think it's footage that's obviously not going to play out well. It's with a woman and he's need to apologise to his pregnant wife and his kids. Now, we've got that audio. Can we just listen to it again? Yeah. This is Kevin.
I'm at a place in my life where I feel like I have a target on my back. And because of that, I should make smart decisions. And recently, I didn't. At the end of the day, man, I just simply got to do better. But I'm not going to also allow a person to have financial gain off of my mistakes. And in this particular situation, that's what was attempted. I said I'd rather fess up to my mistakes.
Isn't it? That's what sort of blackmail is usually about, sort of taking advantage of someone's mistake. And I think it isn't just specific to famous people or movie stars. I think it is. It can happen here in Melbourne in our very own suburbs. And we've got Bill from Bentley East. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Bill. Bill, have you been through something where someone was threatening you with extortion or trying to blackmail you?
Yeah, really badly.
What happened?
My father passed away recently, and I come from a Greek background, and so I had to go to Greece and sort out the will.
Mm.
And you know, it's hard work, you know, because everything in Greece is hard work.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, there was a few mates out there, and we decided to go out to a club one night. That was just a dance club, wasn't a strip club or anything like that. It was a bazookia.
Yeah.
So we went out, and anyway, we had, you know, we had a few too many, and this girl sort of, I don't know what happened, but you know, I obviously was part to blame.
Yeah.
And you know, we sort of had a
moment,
some sort of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So she took my credit card and my license to go to the bar to open up a tab.
Oh.
And she took all my information.
Oh.
And anyway, so I get back to Melbourne and I'm starting to get phone calls from Greece. And then all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call from Melbourne from the same girl. And she's come to Melbourne and said, you know, if you don't hook up with me, I'm going to destroy your marriage.
So hang on, Bill, it wasn't that she was wanting money, she wanted you.
Yeah, so she travelled halfway around the world and came to Melbourne. Bill. And had no idea where she was or what she was doing or anything like that. And I'm freaking out because I've got a beautiful wife and a family and all that sort of stuff. So
what did you do, like, Bill? Did you get on the front foot? Did you have to tell your wife?
I did straight away. Told her what I did.
Yep.
And I said, I hope you can forgive me for what I've done. And I don't know what to do here. And this crazy bitch is in Melbourne. And, yeah, this is what happened. And we were at a club and I had too much to drink. And I'm sorry and blah, blah, blah.
And was your wife understanding and did you work through that?
Yeah, we did.
Now, where's this woman? How have you dealt with her?
Well, it all sort of turned out well in the end. It was like, you know, just get out of my life and go away because, you know, forget it and, you know, you can't do this to me.
That's proper Glenn Close bunny boiling.
Oh, that's scary. That's right out there. I guess the power was taken away in that moment when he confessed to his wife she had no leverage at all.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just very lucky that I've got a wife that understood. And she just said to me, she said, okay, look, we'll let this go, but make sure it doesn't ever happen again.
Of course.
And
now you're free. That woman's definitely out of your life.
Jeez.
That is scary. Yeah. Thank you for sharing
that,
Bill.
No more trips to Greece.
No.
People like that, you know, that'll take that much trouble to go out of their way. I mean, she wanted out of Greece and she was looking for a channel.
And she got you.
That's
amazing. It can happen to anyone. And that's the thing. It really, just bad luck. The people you attract into your life and suddenly you've got some crazy person that can be causing you all sorts of harm and just a menace in your life.
Thanks for sharing the story, Bill. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, I had a great weekend. Thank you for asking. So Friday night, went to the plenary just down at the Docklands, sort of around the DFO. That's, I just know it as DFO. You know that. Do you know the plenary?
Yeah, where the Hilton is.
Yeah, there we go. Went there to see Tina Arena.
The Arena Spectacular.
Well, yeah, she could have taken that name from us. We would have happily given it to her. But Tina's doing a great show at the moment. I strongly suggest you get around it. It was fantastic. It was this incredible experience, like a journey of Tina's career, because she's been, you know, performing since young talent time. It's like 40 years.
So it's a bit of Sorrento Moon.
Oh, there was Sorrento Moon. And it was this multimedia experience with all these television screens. It was just fabulous. Anyway, so we went. I just took Mum. So Mum came with me, but Mum wasn't feeling very well. And she'd sort of said that at the start of the night. And I was like, oh, no, Mum, you know, come, you know, we'll have a great night. Anyway, so
Tina Arena will make it feel good.
Yeah, and she did, and it was she was spectacular. And Mum was okay. At an interval, Mum was sort of not looking great, and I was like, "Do you want to go?" But I really wanted to stay because there were a few hits that I was desperate to hear. Wasn't it good? And
Chains?
You can dance.
Oh,
she did Chains before interval.
Oh, so good.
You got to give him something before the break, mate. You know that.
Anyway, so we were about. It was right near the end, and Tina was just doing her thank yous, but I think she was about to play a couple more songs. But Mum was like, hey,
I've
got to go. And I said, okay.
Was she doing the goodbyes but knowing there's an encore? Was she doing that gig?
I don't know because...
See, guys, what about the other hits? Oh, okay, I'm back.
I had to get Mum out of there, but we were in sort of embedded in a row. And so we did that. You know that thing? And ooh, if you've ever been sitting in the middle of a row knowing that you're about to annoy everybody. Like that sense when you go, I know. You almost want to put your hand up and say, hi, you're all about to really hate me. Can you just... like, bear with me for 1 minute while I get out of this road.
I did that at Anthony's performance last Friday, because I wanted a beer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was stuck right in the middle. I was sitting next to Bert Newton. He's not having any beers.
Clang.
And I'm sitting there, and I was like, I looked down one side, and I thought, oh, 8 people, 10 people. So I got up, and I said, does anyone else want a drink?
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then a couple of people went, yeah, I'll have a beer. And I'm like, oh, geez, I had to do 2 trips.
Backfired.
Because I couldn't carry them all. But I
really
thought, if I keep getting up and back, they're going to go, annoying. Oh, it's really annoying. So I offered them drinks.
You should have tried that with Pearl.
I should have.
There
done
you
that.
Go. Well, shots for Patty and Bert. Here we go. Last couple of tequilas.
The problem was, though, so we were in the middle of the section, and then we had to walk down the middle aisle, and Tina is singing right in the middle of the stage at the microphone. And I'm like, if we just get down the stairs really quickly, like, no, you know, I don't want to distract Tina while she's singing. Anyway, so we're sort of getting through the aisle, and then we finally make it to the big aisle where you step down. And Mum has just done an absolute sixer.
Like
she's gone down about 3 or 4 steps. So the whole crowd has basically, are you okay? And there I was, I'm just standing there. Like, I'm upset for Mum, but I'm also, Mum, this is really embarrassing because now it's very obvious we're leaving. And now Tina's probably looking up from the microphone.
What makes it worse? If everyone just turned, it would look like you pushed her down the stairs.
And hey, someone's just text in, Boxy, about your rave, and Jason, who listens too much.
Your brother.
He said, you do this a bit.
When did I do this?
He said, you did it to him at Adele.
Oh, yeah, but that was different. That was gridlock in the city. I was not sticking around for that.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I know we all accuse Donald Trump of nepotism, and there is that whole thing how he got his daughter and then his son-in-law a job there in the Pentagon, in the White House. It's very... yeah, no, that's definitely nepotism. We don't even have to accuse him of it. Right. That's what's happened there. But look, he's fair. He likes to give everybody a leg up. And at the moment, on the weekend, a little 11-year-old boy was seen in his khaki shorts and his red polo shirt just traipsing around the White House gardens with a lawnmower. Doing a bit of lawn mowing.
Oh, yeah.
And we've just whacked the photo up on our Instagram. Now, everyone's going, who's the kid with the lawnmower? But apparently Trump had employed him to come and do some lawn mowing. His name's Frank. And
Frank the lawnmower?
Yeah, yeah. So
got him for cheap pay at 11 years old.
Exactly.
Some sort of labour law breach.
Well, I know. It's very old school. Like, it's something that sort of I feel like happened in the Wonder Years, a great TV show, you may recall.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin would have been mowing people's lawn. Winnie.
Winnie. Great movie.
And I know that was sometimes, and maybe it is still today, a boy's first job, maybe a girl's first job today.
Yeah.
But Did you guys ever get paid to mow
lawns?
Yeah,
my mum used to mow our lawns and pick the weeds out. I hated it, but I got paid.
How much did
you get? Did
you? I don't know, like $5, $10.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'd build that up straight to the top shop, waste it all on lollies. Booyah.
Are you serious? I never got paid to mow the lawns. But Dad would always wind me up because when the mower was on, I'd start singing because I'm like, oh, no one can hear me. They can see you. So I was just a man in the neighbourhood, a crazy kid talking to himself at the mower.
Well, this kid is going to, I mean, how is that one day in years to come, he's only 11, he'll get to say, I mowed Donald Trump's lawn. Well, the White House lawn.
Yeah,
he cut his grass.
Now, Tim James, wonderful producer here on the show, he had a lawn mowing story, didn't you, Tim?
Oh, did he?
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, you may as well tell it.
Tim, before you tell this, every week there's something in Tim James's life that you go, what happened?
I had a very eventful life.
Okay, talk us through the... We'll narrow it down to the lawn mowing story this morning.
So back in the 90s, one of the kids that lived on our street mowed AFL legend Jason Dunstall's lawn.
The chief.
You
go. Very cool.
That is cool. And for that kid, when he was at school... I mean, Jason Dunstall was Hawthorn's captain's lawn. That's pretty good.
Someone that you know's kid mowed Jason Dunstall's lawn.
That's Jason Dunstall.
That's an extraordinary story.
Mate, he gets nervous. He's not supposed to be on the mic.
13, 10, 60.
Surely we've got a better one than that.
You'd hope so.
I don't know. This may be one of those ones where we don't get any calls because I'm not sure if people are mowing lawns, but whose grass
Jim
did you
does.
Mow? Whose lawn
true.
Did you mow?
Well, that's interesting.
I like what you did there.
Fev. That was solid.
You know what? On the fly, guys, I'm going to put in another one.
You would not have mowed a lawn.
No.
Have you ever mowed a lawn first?
Have I ever mown a lawn? Yes, I have.
Oh,
not talking about that lawn.
Never.
What?
What? You were about to rephrase the question, weren't you?
Say, whose milk did you deliver? But a kid's still delivering milk.
Let's just keep it to mowing.
Serious?
She's lost the plot.
Whose grass did you mow? 13.
What other jobs kids do?
Or in the 50s? What?
13, 10, 60 is the number.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, we were talking about this little kid. He's 11 and he's mowing Donald Trump's lawns. He has been spotted on the White House lawn with a lawnmower in his red polo shirt. I like that. Mm. And his khaki shorts. He's still trying to dress, look respectable for the president.
Nice.
But apparently the president has employed him. Now, this is fun because that can sometimes be your first job. I mean, I hope he's paid well. He's 11, but I hope,
you would hope so.
Mr. Trump looked after him. And we've just said 13, 10, 60. Whose lawn did you mow? Whose lawn did you mow growing up?
It'll be tough for him when he gets a bit older and he works at like a Macca's or a KFC. Where was your first job? White House.
Yeah, I know.
Working for a billionaire.
Yeah, sure, mate.
It's a good start. Stephen in Frankston. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good. Whose lawn did you mow?
Well, I didn't actually mow a lawn. When I was younger, living back in Launceston, I used to do a paper round, and I got chased by these two German shepherds one day, so I had to go a different way. And I used to lay my bike on the front lawn, and then a week or two later, I found out it was Ricky Pondings.
The punter!
Well, and he had two aggressive German shepherds.
No, it wasn't him. He was around the corner from him. And then I thought, to go the safe way, I might start leaning my bike up against this old telecom thing on his front lawn. And
That's interesting, isn't it? That's a lawn-based story.
And I'm happy with that.
Did you, because you asked for...
Mow, whose lawn did you mow? But I appreciate that a lawn was involved, Steve, and that your bike, at least your bike, was on Ricky Ponting's lawn.
So that's right.
So it's still in the jurisdiction.
Just checking.
No, that was
the
great.
The paper round had me for a second because I went, well, that's just paper. But no, we got it. Lawn-based.
So if your dog poops on the nature strip, but it is someone famous, we're happy
with that? Yeah, we're happy with
that. We would take that.
Kylie in Listerfield. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Kylie. Did you mow somebody's lawn?
No, it wasn't me. It was my dad.
Again, that's a second-hand. But
I'm happy with that. It's lawn-based.
Tim James
was mowing somebody's lawn.
Yes. Portia de Rossi's mum.
Oh, that's good.
She would have been a Rogers, wouldn't she?
And he met Portia de Rossi too. Yep.
Fabulous. That's great.
No, it's Grovey. Is that right? Grovedale?
Pardon?
Where is it? Which suburb of Geelong was
it? I actually don't know. I never asked. I was too busy trying to find out all about Portia de Rossi. But
did your dad find out anything about Portia de Rossi?
No, just met her and said that she was really lovely. And her mum was nice. Yeah.
Good lawns?
Oh, very nice lawns. He did a fabulous job. He was semi-retired.
This is a great chat. Yeah. When does it end?
Just good lawn chat.
A lawn chat.
I love it.
I'm not going to lie. I have really enjoyed lawn chat.
Oh, you have?
I have.
We had a caller that dropped out. Apparently was great. It was right on. Was it on topic?
Go on, Leon.
Yeah, a little bit.
Leon, what was it? Whose lawn was she mowing?
Look, Bianca from McRae called through. We can't get back onto her. She was mowed the lawn next to John Farnham's recording studio.
That's great.
That's awesome. Oh.
Near it. Yeah, and Farnham wasn't there at the time.
No.
Okay. I'm going to bring that back as a segment. Lawn-based phones. I like it.
Any story.
Story.
Like it. Well, if you're listening to Whispering Jack and you possibly hear a motor mower in the background... That's old, mate.
Absolutely.
That topic could nearly get us off air, I reckon.
You don't have to pay to download this Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up. And you don't have to pay 20 grand to sell your home. Upside Real Estate will do it for just $7,500. Upside.com.au. No commission, no compromise.